Yeah, I mean, but it's just it's like Willy Wonka's factory. It's a world of imagination. And I do have to say, like, we have to call in to question the family's financial decisions. You know, they got nothing. All, four grown people in a bed, and they're like, we'll buy a chocolate bar for this kid.
Yeah.
Like, are you really hedging your bets on the golden ticket? Like, is that what you're waiting for? How many other times did you have money and waste it on candy, like sweepstakes? To get in this position, like where
you—that's why they're in that.
That's
position.
What I'm wondering. Like, did they start off
100%
just fine?
They went to play Monopoly at McDonald's. That's, and lost. That's,
it all started in the '80s with the Monopoly. Yeah, like were they okay financially? And then they had this gambling habit
broke
with
that
food.
Family.
Yes.
That and when the Xbox came out and Pepsi did the thing, like, hey, if you
heard the Mountain Dews with the codes.
Just,
yes.
I mean, they're just ranking them in, dude. They're financially struggling because they don't understand.
No, in one bed, but they're all wearing like the runner-up prizes from stuff. Like they got the Mountain Dew jackets. All right, here we go. Welcome to the Goose of Grace, because all the good names are taken.
All of them.
Here we go, take 12. Welcome to the Goose of Grace, because all the good names are taken.
Every single one of them.
You know what? We're going to keep going.
Keep it.
You're
Your
not
name's
gonna
Dan Davis,
it.
And my name's Drew. Welcome, everybody.
You sound somewhat intoxicated, sir. No, this is what happens when we don't record for a couple weeks. So we did want to make sure we hit our names, because you may have forgotten them by now. So we had a couple weeks. We had some issues, but they worked out. We're back. We're good. They weren't it sounds like we were fighting. We weren't. We just couldn't schedule.
Dan couldn't get his diabetes in order.
Yeah, my blood sugar was getting crazy.
And I had a birthday.
I had to bite my wallet. It was a whole bunch of stuff.
I had a birthday.
Yeah, so he had a birthday.
One good thing, one bad thing. We were 50-50.
Either way, we're both older and more decrepit than when we started.
Exactly.
But we're glad you stuck in, all three of you, and welcome. So, what's going on? What's anything exciting going on there, Drew?
Yeah, man. Tonight, I'm going to New Vision Baptist Church. Sorry, we're recording this on Wednesday, so last night.
Oh, yeah, it'll be Thursday.
I had a great time. Call him a shot. I had a great time.
I love speaking it into existence. I love it. Name
Easter
it and claim
eggs,
it, baby.
At New Vision Baptist Church. Super excited.
Easter's a fun time.
Trying to give a plug, but it didn't really work out.
I don't want to say that. It's not.
Hey, there is the Easter drama happening on March 29th and 30th at 7 p.m.
We try to keep the drama at a minimum.
Well, it's Easter, though.
It's Easter drama.
Yeah.
Oh, every time my family gets together, there's Easter drama.
Why is it focused on Easter? That's
weird. We fight every time we get together about something
just
that happened.
No, it's just the day of Easter. When's Easter? It's just all out brawl. Every family function.
We argue about
every
it every
family. No one looks at calendars.
Oh, man, that's great.
All right, are not welcomed in the Amos household.
We hope Easter drama for you brings about joy. Not like the Amos household, apparently.
Fighting.
Oh, man.
Wendy leaves. I'll just buy y'all a count.
No, I'm not talking to you until Christmas.
Which is soon,
yeah, then
I think.
Then we'll start fighting about that.
Which is soon, I think.
Oh, man. So, we are going to talk a little bit about the resurrection. We're going to jump around a little bit, but we're going to start in John 20:15, and we're going to go through, I think we're going to go through 18, and then we're going to keep going after that, but we're going to stop at 18. And Drew's going to read.
That was the most confusing way to explain that.
Well, no, so we're going to stop at 18, but then we're going to later go a little further.
But okay, it's still not.
But 15 through 18 for now.
You made that like foggy.
It is a little foggy today. It's very overcast.
It is. It's nasty.
It's nasty. All right, Drew, you go.
John
20, read.
Verse 15. I'm going to read to verse
Now that you're
18.
Done giving the worst weather report ever. It's nasty.
People will know.
Yeah.
Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together and to be in your word and to celebrate the risen Savior. We know that we would have nothing to celebrate, nothing to hope for, if it was not for the sacrifice, the blood, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can celebrate knowing that we are yours and we have eternity with you. Heavenly Father, as we go through your word, we pray for those who have not accepted that gift of salvation, that today would be the day that they begin a relationship with you through Christ. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen. All right. So I got to admit, we set Drew up for failure. In verse 16 is Rabboni, right?
At least I didn't say Rabboni.
So Drew and I had a conversation about how to pronounce this.
For some reason, in my dad's eyes, Mary became very Italian.
It's a Rabboni.
yeah,
that's how we presented it, as a pasta dish, not as teacher. So, but just to be clear, not an Italian dish. It means teacher. And I believe it. I think it's the I is pronounced I there.
So, have you ever seen the movie Ratatouille?
Yes.
For some reason. I thought Ratatouille, like the actual meal,
yes,
like he starts at the very end, was pepperoni, and the yellow things were also just a different type of pepperoni.
Like, man, these folks are going crazy for some pepperoni with a side of pepperoni.
Check. I was like, wow, this is amazing.
I love that we go from Rabboni, which is a horrible mispronunciation, to pepperoni. Which reminds me of my dog's favorite snack, pepperonis. So there you go. Yet another corporate sponsorship missed opportunity.
If they would just listen to our podcast.
What in the world? Pepperoni people here. I mean, not people that like it. That's weird. Don't listen to us if you're one of those. But the company, no, CEO.
You need what we're talking about.
All right. This is getting bad. Let's get into it. All right. So just starting off, verse 15. We see this word again, and I need to verify, but if I'm not mistaken, this is very much the same tone used when he addresses his mother Mary when he performs his first miracle. That term woman, because remember we said it always sounds kind of weird to be like woman. Like, to us, it is disrespectful, but it was actually a show of respect. So I thought that was kind of a neat tie in there. I want to stay on this for just a minute. Supposing him to be the gardener, like, that is just, this is one of those amazing pieces of scripture that I feel like really point to the fact, once again, that this book was not written as like a way to start a man-made religion or any of that. This is a recording of the truth, because this does not make us look pious or anything. You've got the Son of God, the resurrected Christ, and what is the first thing it says about him once he's resurrected?
That's a gardener.
So you thought he was the gardener.
it's definitely not flattering to the people who were writing.
Like, this is not the kind of thing like you would include if it wasn't true.
Imagine if this was fake, and like Mary's over John's shoulder watching him write this, and he writes this, and she's like, "What?"
It wasn't enough to be the fastest. Now you're calling me stupid. I love these little moments that show again that this absolutely is the word of God. And it's true, and it's historically accurate. These are things that happen. My little soapbox about, you know, especially for our kids, we teach it as Sunday school lessons or Bible stories when really they're historical accounts. So I just thought that was a neat little spot. But the reason we're covering this is one of the first accounts, and we're going to hit on some others of.
And can I go ahead. Can I make an aside to that too?
Jump in there.
Also, you go to verse 10, and so that you know they get there, him and
Yeah.
John gets there, and then a little bit later, Peter gets in there. but they see that the body is not there, and what do? They go back to their homes.
Yep.
Again, not flattering.
Yep.
And if this was a lie and they were writing it, and they were, you know, they would make themselves look better. They were the ones who looked.
Yeah.
Rather, it shows how little faith they had, how little they listened to while Jesus was here. They went back to their homes. They were still scared. They're like, his body's not even here. That's like, we got to go back.
I'm out. Womp, womp. Yeah, no, I'm with you. And we'll get into a little more of that even about, you know, why this disproves a lot of the ridiculous theories out there about what happened to Jesus for those who deny the resurrection. But no, I want to spend a little time in the scripture today because, you know, without the resurrection, there's no reason for us to celebrate it at this time of year. It's not. It wouldn't be enough for Jesus just to die. It wouldn't be enough for him to suffer on the cross. He had to be resurrected for death to be defeated and for us to have this reason to celebrate because it provides everlasting life to those who believe and those who accept. And so the reason I want to cover this while we're talking about that is because people may say, well, how can I really believe the resurrection? I've never seen somebody be resurrected. Okay. Well, the beautiful thing is, once again, if this was a man-made document, not the Word of God, they may say something like, you just have to have enough faith. You just got to believe it enough. Well, here, they give us historical accounts of other people, of numerous other people who witnessed the resurrected Christ so that we could understand. And this is the problem with so many man-made religions and how we know they're false and completely useless is because they're all about adapting and covering up their own shortcomings, their own shortfallings because they're man-made. So you look at some of these and it seems like every year they have to come up with new rules or add numbers to those who are going to be saved because now it's grown a little more and they're like, oh, what do we do? We don't have to do that. And that's one of the things that we, you know, really find at the core belief of Christianity is the fact that God's word, like God, is unchanging. It does not need to change. It is still God's word today as much as it was the day it was written or the days it was written. And so I love this because it shows once again that it stands the test of time. If you go to any other religion, again, they're having to update. They're having to make excuses for. Here, we don't have contradictions. God's word doesn't need to change. So that's why we want to talk about it a little bit. And that's kind of the context of what we're discussing.
So often we would ask, you know, the questions asked is why were the disciples not the first ones to see Jesus? And there's actually a historical reason why they weren't.
Why would that be?
And it's because, first of all, they were hiding like little chickens up in a roof.
I'm peacing out.
up in the upper room in a house. But also, we have to look at who was the first. And that's, you know, Mary Magdalene, mm-hmm. a woman. And what we have to understand is women had no rights back then.
Yep.
And so it would make no sense if this was fake for them to say, hey, the first person to see Jesus alive is a woman.
Yep.
Because it doesn't help their argument at all. It actually makes their argument harder to prove.
Yeah, because they really had no what's the word I'm looking for? No
authority.
But yeah, let's go with authority. There's another word I was trying to think. Like
authority.
Accountability? No, not accountability. But anyway, essentially, if you were looking for a witness that was dependable, they wouldn't go to a woman. Not that there was any logical reasoning for that. But yeah.
They were seeing his property.
It was their status at that point.
Yeah, and so they had no rights in the court of law. And so if you're trying to prove something, like you said, to be true, you weren't going to go and say, well, look, this woman said she was
there. Wasn't any weight behind what they said at that point,
And so
that's one of the reasons we take issue with people who say, you know, Christianity or the Bible is misogynistic and all this, that, and the other. It's ridiculous. There's no standing for it, and there's proof time and time again throughout God's word that is not the case. Do we believe that men and women have unique roles as designed by God? Absolutely. But does it say that one is worthless and the other is all-powerful? No, not in any translation other than you just kind of hunting and pecking and picking what you want. Yeah. So she sees him. She thinks he's the gardener. Let me see. Hold on. I got I got sidetracked here for a minute. And then what I have to kind of just stop here where he says, where it says, Jesus said to her, Mary, he didn't make any grand announcement. He didn't, you know, there's no spectacle. This is what gets me. Like, if you ever have lost a loved one or you have someone you really care about that you haven't seen in a long time, nothing gives them away quicker or sounds sweeter than the sound of them saying your name. And I love this because she instantly, that's kind of the snap that is like, oh, wait, I know who this is. And then, so she then recognizes him. But not only that, it shows the personal relationship. It shows that we have a personal God, that that when Christ died, he died for us, you know, as an, the entirety of humankind so that we could have salvation. But also, he died for us personally, individually, Dan, Drew, whoever. So I love just, there's so much in that one statement of Mary. Anything on that one?
Why does she not recognize him? Because there's two.
My thought is he hid himself from her. Like, his appearance was different, and so she didn't recognize him.
There's two leading theories.
Okay, what's
one,
the other
one? One is what you say, basically. Yeah. He changed himself to not.
Right.
Look. Also is, if I'm not looking for someone, I typically miss them, you know. If I'm somewhere,
it
I don't
to her state of mind.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm not expecting to see someone,
like I'm looking for a corpse and I'm seeing this dude, like, yeah.
And if I'm like at Walmart and I see somebody from church that I
outside
only
of
see
their
church,
normal,
I'm not gonna recognize them because it's happened multiple times.
Yeah,
and so like my honestly thing is Mary didn't recognize them because Mary wasn't looking for, as you said, Jesus alive.
Yeah.
Like, she's looking for a corpse.
Yeah.
And so even though he came up and was like, hey, who are you looking, woman? Yeah. Who are you looking for? It didn't register in her head until, like you said, he made it personal and said her name,
well,
and went to somewhere that she's used to.
And even then, think about the circumstances. So if you go back to when he was on the cross, you see the torture he went through. Is that you essentially couldn't recognize him as a human by the time they got done with him. Mm-hmm. So think of what she's expecting, and then think of where he's at, you know, what he looks like at that point.
Yeah,
so
the only thing I was still left was the holes.
Yeah, so like that's the thing. I would be confused too if I was looking for this guy who had been pretty much, you know, his humanity had been destroyed physically, and then you see this guy in perfect health, in great shape. You know, eventually they see the scars, but yeah, I probably wouldn't be like, oh yeah, that must be the guy. Like, there's nothing in your brain that says, hey, I'm expecting a dead person who has been physically tortured, but this guy could be like
unrecognizable. You know?
Yeah, like you're not looking for it. I'm with you. Yeah, that makes sense. So then, all you know, it's amazing how much power is in a very short number of words here. She turns to him and she says to him in Aramaic. I'm just going to use the English. I don't destroy it again, teacher. Now it's my turn to ask a question. Why do you think that's the way she responded?
Because, I mean, that's who he is to her, you know. And
again, reveals that relationship.
Yeah, and that's why I've always, when I was a youth pastor, I always told my youth is Jesus plays a specific role in your life. He's not just this overarching person, like, you know, that just kind of is in your life. No, it has to be personal. And to Mary Magdalene, personally, Jesus was her teacher.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's like if I saw my dad, I wasn't expecting to see him. I was excited to see him. I'm not going to say, Henry M. Michael Mendes, Henry Michael Mendes Jr., oh my goodness. No, I'm going to say dad because that's his role in my life.
Yeah, boom.
But it's the same way as her. She's not going to say
it's
Jesus.
It's a term of familiarity.
Teacher. Yeah. Because she's showing like, hey, like this is my teacher. This is someone close to me.
So she recognizes him. They speak for a minute. He says, you know, Don't hang on. I got things to do. I haven't ascended yet.
I do love that.
Yeah.
Because so there's this amazing interview with Kobe Bryant during the NBA Finals, and they asked him, and they said it was after game, I think, three. They're up 3-0. And most of the time, the series is over. And so they asked him, they said, he won the Western Conference. No, it was. They were up 3-0. He said, so how does it feel being up 3-0? Like, you're not smiling, you're not celebrating. And he's like, the job's not finished.
Yep.
He's like, the job isn't finished. I can't, you know. And that's how Jesus is right here. It's not that he doesn't want to spend time with Mary, but he knows there are things that still have to happen for everything to be fulfilled. And again, it's not saying, oh, Mary, get away from me.
Yeah.
He's saying, look, don't cling to me right now.
Well, and
I'm still doing my job.
It's also this idea of, like, don't get too attached because I'm leaving before long. Like, I'm not going to be in this form for long. I just went crazy on
the mic. Yeah. Punched the mic. He was getting excited.
Sorry there. All right, so now, as I foretold, we're going to go further.
Go ahead.
All right.
Wait, because then he goes, you know, at first he says, for I have not ascended to the Father.
Yep.
But then when he says, hey, go get your brothers, talking about the disciples, he says, I am ascending to my Father and your Father.
Yep.
Again, it's all about relationships here.
Yep.
You know? Because first she says, hey, teacher. You know, she calls him teacher. That shows the relationship they have. And then he's over here saying, hey, it's not just my Father.
And
it's your Father.
Back to the fact and to the scripture that points out that we are heirs with Christ. And so, you know, if me and you have the same Father, we're both heirs to him. And the same thing, it shows that relationship to God, you know, to my God and your God. Yeah.
And then I do love how she ended, how John ends it. I've seen the Lord. And then everything else she had to say. She said, I've seen the Lord.
Yes. I got to get the main point across really quick. Like, she just bust up in the room.
It was, and John, right? It's like John was like, she said she saw the Lord, and then she said other
stuff. Some other stuff.
I don't remember it, but she said it.
That's the most man way of explaining something. Like, my wife, I can remember kind of the main point, but then there's some other stuff in there. Like, you
know, I'm seeing the Lord, and then she said some other stuff.
I was eating Fritos. I lost interest for a minute.
Funny thing is he already wrote it once. What he was supposed to have said.
Again, very accurate. We know this is true.
I've seen the Lord, and then she said some other things. Do I care?
Refer back to my earlier statement.
Yeah, I don't know.
So one of the things I'm kind of fascinated with, and we got a few minutes, is what it must have really been like, and it's hard for us to fathom, to be there and personally see Jesus before the crucifixion, to then witness him on the cross, witness him being buried, and then two things. Number one, how did it feel in those days immediately after?
I mean, we know they were scared.
Right. Like, you know, there had to be, we're going to see one doubt. Like, there's going to be those who are like, well, this all just came to nothing.
And I really feel like the person who, and I'm not, you know, I'm not here saying this is factual.
Right.
This is my mind. I think the person who struggled the most was Peter, because the last time him and his Savior made eye contact was, Peter had done what Jesus said he was going to do, and Peter was like, I'm 100% not
doing
it. Yeah, straight up.
Not the ending you want. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like in Peter's eyes, the last thing his Savior heard him say was that he was denying him.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, everyone regrets the last thing they ever said. You know, even if it is, hey, I love you.
Oh, yeah, bye. Yeah.
You still wish I would have said this.
I could have said more, yeah.
Yeah, imagine Peter here. He's like, I really screwed the boots on this one. Could have said really anything else.
Because there goes my career at Hallmark. No, but like, so, and it would have been completely human to do so. I wonder, there had to be this time before they saw him again where it was like, man, all of that and what came out, like, are we any better off? What's going to, I thought something was going to happen. How did they defeat him? This is the end. So that is then quickly overcome with the fact that they see him again. And I can't imagine the joy that came from seeing him resurrected.
I was listening to one pastor. He was like, yeah, the disciples were being just a bunch of cowards hiding in the upper room. and I sat there and I'm like, How dare you call them cowards?
Like yeah, the circumstances where they were in.
You please explain to me where you would have been in that situation. Because we understand now that they were expecting him to come in and overthrow Rome.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not to defeat death, right. Hell, and the grave, but defeat the actual. Yeah, they thought was the actual.
Many of them had a complete misunderstanding.
Yeah, and so for him to die at the hands of you know, I know the Jews, you know, the ones who got crucified, but the Romans the one put to death.
Yeah.
And so it's big wake up call for them. And so
it's like you hear the record scratch. It's like, wait, that one's supposed to happen. Wait a minute.
Exactly. And so yes, it's their fault because they weren't listening.
Right.
But in the same breath, like
how many times do we do the same thing?
Yeah. And so to sit here and judge the disciples for being in the upper room and being scared and being cowards.
Like, where are they supposed to go? Like, taunt the guards that were there. Looks like somebody got out.
They got one of us. There's still a couple left.
Yeah. I mean, really, like what? So I want to hit on this real quick. We got just a couple minutes here. If you go on to 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Again, look, not throwing shade at them. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Again, you got to understand, this is showing time and time again proof that this is indeed Jesus Christ who was put on the cross, who was tortured, who died, and who was resurrected. And so, again, if this was not true, they wouldn't point to specific details that we see here. And it would be like, oh, one guy saw him over from a distance. But trust me, it's him. No, this repeatedly says and names the people who saw him. So at the time, people could have been like, hey, did this really happen? Like, they can go back and track down names. And so when he said this, he showed them his hands aside. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I'm sorry, I think that's the biggest understatement of Scripture. They were like, cool.
Just Peter in the background, yeah.
Can I get you a meatloaf? Like, I mean, no, they lost it. All right. Exactly. They may have had to be quiet, but they're like, I'm freaking out. So then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you."
See, I'm
marching orders. Goes back to what you were saying about Kobe Bryant.
I'm reading that peace, that second peace be with you is like, all right,
let's calm down a little bit.
Calm down a little bit.
They're over there like rocking. I'm freaking out. He's back.
Peter's in the background banging his head against the wall.
Wait until Rome gets a load of us.
But no, 100%. He still has that mindset of job's not finished.
Yeah.
You know? Job is not finished. And so, you know, I mean, think about it. These are his 11 closest friends around him right now. And he's not celebrating with them. He's not like partying. He's like, hey guys, peace be with you.
Yeah.
Let's roll.
Yeah.
Like we got some stuff we got to get done.
And so we're going to end with this next little piece. Cause we got just a couple minutes. So he calms them down a little bit. He says, hey, we got stuff to do. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now, there's a couple things here. Number one, can we just point to the weirdness that is him breathing on? Okay. Like, I get it. I get it. It's the kind of the giving of the Holy Spirit. Okay. It also, I would argue, points once again to the fact that he's there, you know. But it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. Let's just call it what it is. In the looking at today's culture, where we spent two or three years trying not to breathe toward anybody, this would not be seen as kosher. But here's what I want to get into just a minute. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. How?
How?
I was trying to be thought provoking. It just came out like I was learning English.
What?
How does that set with in today's culture where if I say anything to anybody, I'm judging them and I need to be quiet and not be judgmental.
We hide behind the word judge.
Yep.
So we don't our weaknesses don't get shown.
Yep.
I will say this though. You know, people are like, oh man, look at the power that was given to them. Yep. No, if you reorder operations, receive the Holy Spirit. So you've received the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And the Holy Spirit is working through them so that way they can decipher whose sins need to be forgiven.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's not over here. Yeah, it's not over here saying, oh, look at these 11 guys. They now have this power. No, the Holy Spirit is working through them. Because again, order of operation here. He threw something. order of operation here. They first received the Holy Spirit. If he does not say, hey, receive the Holy Spirit, and he just goes on, doesn't say those first three words, then yes, they have that power.
Yeah.
But here he's saying, no, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to allow you to be able to do these things.
And here is the beautiful thing. This is why I got excited. So here's the thing. That same Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit we have today. The problem is exactly what you pointed out. We want to do our own thing and then claim the power of the Holy Spirit. The problem is the moment that we stray from what we're being called to do, from what that Holy Spirit is guiding us to do, we lose the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we say, well, I just don't. Number one, the Holy Spirit's not feeling. Let's get through that real quick. You may not feel it. You may feel it. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit's not feeling it. It is still there. If you're being disobedient, then you can try whatever you want. And I think so many people say, well, I don't see the Holy Spirit moving anymore. Are you in obedience? My guess is there's a good chance you don't even know what God's will for you is because you're not in his word.
If you say the words, I feel and I think.
Yeah.
You've already lost
disqualified yourself right there.
You've already lost me. Now, if you come to me and say, hey, look, I feel that you're wrong because the Bible said this. Okay.
Or if you say,
I think you're wrong.
Right. Or if you say, I've read scripture, I think God is leading me to this, I've prayed about it, that's one thing. But just to say my opinion is, without any communication with God or reading his word, then yeah, you got a problem. But yeah, I think so often we're just like, well, God's not doing anything. Are you aligning yourself with him? Are you listening for the Holy Spirit? Are you allowing yourself to be guided by the Holy Spirit? Or, like in many cases, are you busy trying to conform the Holy Spirit to what you want instead of saying, Holy Spirit, wherever you lead, that's where I'm going?
Yep. I agree.
All right. So that we were all over the place a little bit, but not as much as I thought we'd be. I had more. We may continue this. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, if you go through, I would say it's always a great idea. Do a Bible study around this time of year of, you know, all the scripture that talks about the witnesses of the risen Christ, and it does a lot to bolster your confidence in the fact that this is historically accurate. Christ rose from the dead. We have the
documentation.
Hope. Yeah, well, we have the hope that comes with knowing that that he is risen and has defeated death.
The only Savior that isn't in the ground still.
That's it. Boom. And next week I want to get into the crazy conspiracies about what other people think happened to Jesus.
Oh, dude, there's one out there that's
bonkers.
Insane.
Yeah, we'll spend a little time having fun with that. So, big thought.
It's simple. If this was fake, if this is all fake, they did a really good job of hiding it.
Some would say an unbelievable job.
Exactly. They were willing, because to go like a step farther. Everybody in that room when Jesus appeared to the disciples, everyone in that room had to make a pact right then and there that they were going to die on this lie.
Yep. Yep.
If it wasn't true. Because they all died for God's kingdom.
And mine is essentially if God defeats death, he can handle whatever you're throwing at him today.
Yep.
Have faith. All right, I'm going to pray, and you're going to...
You're going to pray.
I'm going to pray, and you're going to...
I'm going to have a great day.
I'm so looking forward to hearing that again. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you are God, and you are powerful. You are all-powerful, and so we understand that not only were you able to defeat death, hell, and the grave, but you're able to handle anything that our lives throw at you. We see but just a glimpse. And so we panic, but it's only because we so often forget about the God we serve, about your power and your might. And so, Heavenly Father, I just pray that we would be reminded to be obedient and to follow the Holy Spirit, to rely on the Holy Spirit, not to try to shape and form the Holy Spirit into something that we control or we understand, but rather that our lives would be shaped completely by you, that you would be the Lord of our lives, every aspect of it. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great day to have a great day. So, without further ado, have a great day.
I don't miss it anymore.